Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Heart to Heart Podcast. I am Bria.
And I'm Kim.
And we are back after a 3-month-long hiatus, which we really needed. Absolutely. And we thank you all for your patience while we took our rest. Senior year has really been yearing. I don't know what else to say.
It's just unprecedented.
Unprecedented changes, a lot of growth, a lot of development, and we're thankful for all the things we've been through because we wouldn't be as strong and, you know, amazing as we are today without all that stuff happening.
I absolutely agree. And before we get into everything, again, I just want to thank everyone who has continued to support us. Literally has continued to make donations, even though we've gone on a hiatus. I've had so many people at Brown like come up to me and be like, when is the next episode dropping? Like, when are you coming back? So just know that that has meant the world, and that you think about us, that you care for us, and hold space for us. It's really meant the world. So
that is so sweet.
Yes. No, I will shout out my friend Priya specifically is one person who was like, Kim, like, where are the episodes at? Like, I know you're not stopping. And I'm like, no, we're not stopping. But as Bria said, you know, the past few months have definitely been tumultuous. So we just definitely needed this space for to just, you know, get through everything we needed to get through. Mm-hmm. So, and as always, you know that you can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, and Apple Podcasts. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, which we would really appreciate.
Please do. We always love hearing your thoughts. I sometimes will go back and just read the reviews we have. And it literally every time I smile and it just makes my day. But please leave us a review.
Yes.
I guess we should get into the topic of this episode, which is just going to kind of be a recentering of where we are, talking and getting real about how senior year has been. And talking about our post-grad plans. And the title of this episode might be like, don't ask people their plans. Because the amount of times people have asked and then been shocked when they hear my answer. And you know what I'm saying? We'll get into that later. But how are you doing, friend?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. You know, I think second semester senior year, I think, has been treating me well for the most part. You know, I think academically, I'm writing a thesis, as Bria is as well. So there has been, we have talked about that, just a lot of stress surrounding it, and a lot of deadlines that have to be met. And honestly, similar to your topic, Bria, I'm writing on Black women's incarceration, just very, very heavy. Mm-hmm. So having to like analyze and grapple with a lot of that content, I think has been really tough. Super, super excited though that I was able to submit my first draft. Also, all of my readers or advisors for my thesis are Black women. So these are the people that review and have helped me craft my narrative and think about structure. And, you know, how I can portray my like overarching message the most clearly. So working with them has truly gotten me through because I think they understand where I'm coming from. They understand that this semester has, you know, been insane for everybody. So it's been a process. So Bria, how are you feeling about your project as well?
My project is a very special case.
Yeah.
So I've just had some real hurdles in terms of like the logistics of writing it. It's on a topic I'm passionate about, so that's not really the issue. It's been more so, you know, administrative and logistical things that have just been a hurdle. And also my own grief has been a hurdle. That's something I think that, like, you know, speaking of where I am senior year, that's something I never, ever expected for my college, you know, experience was that senior year, I would be coming back to school, you know, losing my dad, mm-hmm. and still have to be expected to do everything, you know, that I might've set out to do or that's required of me for my major. And, you know, I reached out for help and I reached out for options and was met with there's no options. And that was like really like a blow. That was really like, wow, okay. So there's no protocol in place. If someone lost a parent, they still have to go through with this, you know, huge undertaking of a project.
Right.
And there's no other option. And so that's just been hard, feeling as though, you know, I haven't been allowed to quit.
Yeah.
Even in a time where I feel like, you know, I've earned it. I've paid my dues. I've done so much at this school and I still have to do this. So that's just been like very interesting. And, you know, you just don't realize how much grief affects you in terms of like motivation and working. And it's just like a time where I feel like I need the most rest is the time I'm getting the least rest.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where I've been. You know, I'm excited about my topic, about the project, but it's just one of those things that I don't have the same fire or energy I had, you know, maybe sophomore, junior year, freshman year for completing assignments and schoolwork that I do now. And it's not even that it's senioritis, you know, as most people go through. I think it still would be challenging just being a senior trying to write this like huge thing. But I think with this added layer of grief, it's like, whoa, this is like a lot. So I've been really trying to reach out when I need help and just take it easy on myself and also realize, you know, the expectations I've had for myself my whole life, they're different now. Because my life's not the same as it has been. So, you know, it's been a lot, but I think that I'm really growing and learning from this and it'll be over soon. So.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's so important, like realizing and understanding when you have the bandwidth to do certain things or not, and also being okay with shifting expectations, right? I think for both of us, there have been so many events in the past few months that have just been incredibly jarring, incredibly, you know what I mean? That has just completely
disrupted our status quo.
Disrupted the status quo. So it's like us choosing, right? Like how to hold space for ourselves, what we're putting our energy into and how we're like spending that time, I think is the most important thing. And I think it's so hard when you exist in this Ivy League culture of go, 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 like grind it out till the end to keep going like that. It's not feasible.
It's not feasible. And like this happening in my life really showed me how some of my expectations are not like feasible.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy. And, you know, I think also what's hard about realizing that you have like changing expectations or you need to like lighten up on yourself. It's like accepting that there's a new normal. Mm. And I think that was like, you know, my plans for myself and like the way I envisioned finishing senior year and the thesis I imagined myself writing and all that stuff. I think that admitting the goalposts shifted was really like the last part of acceptance that like everything happened in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like I did a good job of like accepting that my dad passed. And like, I mean, what is a good job? That's another story, but I feel like that was one thing that I was like, I've always like tried to make peace with and like, you know, not feel disrupted by that. But it was just kind of like, it's affected everything else in my life. Surely it's not going to affect academics. That's the one thing I can keep safe. And it's like, no, babe, it's gonna affect everything. And that is okay.
No,
that is okay. It is what it is.
Absolutely. And I think we all have to realize after a certain point that we exist within our own realms, right? Like there is no standard for what success looks like. There is no standard for what completing an Ivy League degree to the fullest of capacity looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That goalpost, those shifts, that's individualized for every single person. And I think that has also been a huge realization for me as well, right? My definition of what success looks like, my definition of what it means to be happy has shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And I think you have to be willing to make peace with that.
And that's part of growing up. Yeah. It's part of being human.
Growing pains that we talk about.
Growing pains. We always talk about growing pains, but like, it's a part of life. Doesn't mean it's easy. And like I said this to you the other day, I think, but like, you know, we're definitely people who like our paths have been so interesting and so full and not easy though. You know what I'm saying? Like we've experienced so much and we're coming to a point where there's so much for us, but it's like, doesn't mean it's been perfect rainbows at all. No,
at all.
And it's not meant to be. And I think I had to get over that. Like, I had to realize, like, you can be on a path where you're destined for X, Y, Z, but that doesn't mean getting there is not going to be full of hurdles or things that feel like painful to you. Like, right, the whole point of this journey is that you're supposed to go through discomfort so you can grow. You're supposed to, you know, go through different things with different people, different places, different anything, so you can grow. And I think we have this like weird idea that it's like, when I'm on the perfect path, nothing bad will ever happen to me again. And it's like, that's not how it works.
And it just might be the opposite, right?
It might be the opposite. You get to the perfect place because you went through those crazy things.
Absolutely. I genuinely think a lot of these experiences push you in so many ways and put you up to the test of, do you know yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you going to follow in the footsteps that you believe is best for you? What is that going to look like for you? Like, how true will you be to yourself? And I think those are the questions at the crux of so many of the things we've experienced, right?
Absolutely.
Do you choose yourself? And that is a theme that we've talked about in the past, but it's reoccurring. Do you choose yourself?
I think, right? We keep getting tests, making us choose ourselves.
Yeah.
Because for so long, maybe we hadn't. Mm-hmm. And now we, like, when we finally decided, no, like, we are going to choose yourself, it's like, okay, bet, like, here you go, here's a test for that. Then you go through and you see how hard it is in actuality to put yourself first. And then it's like, I think you get these tests to work that muscle so it becomes easier for you.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, the things we've gone through, they really haven't hardened us in the way that maybe people like would think that they would.
Mm-hmm.
That's like true. You know, like, we haven't lost our kindness.
Yeah,
we haven't lost our joy. There may have been moments where we didn't feel the nicest or we didn't feel the happiest, but those things are superficial.
Fleeting. Like,
they're fleeting. Kindness and joy are long-standing.
Absolutely. And I think that I love that point. I really do, because I think, again, that's how you have to learn how to go through the growing pains, right? It's like this acknowledgement that, like, you have to work through everything that happens to you. And obviously it's not going to be easy, but how do you still hold on to, like, the best parts of yourself? That's a hard thing to do. But I think in doing that, you feel so much more full, right?
Yeah.
That's my thing as well. I'm like, no matter what happens to me or what experiences happen, like, my kindness, like, who I am on the inside, that's not shifting.
That's you. That's your core.
Nothing should have the power to shift that.
No.
At all.
I think we've just been learning, like, who then just gets access to that. Because, you know, even in, like, a distancing a relationship or whatever, those people still get your kindness. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to turn and then be evil or whatever. Like, people still get your kindness. Even in the quiet, like, they may not be getting the niceties or the this or the that, but it's like, that doesn't matter. That's fleeting. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. And I think of, like, past episodes we've done talking about, like, you know, maybe we should be more mean, but literally when we were saying that, like, be in our villain era, that for us literally meant, like, we need to establish boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was never like, we're going to be evil menaces to people. Mm-hmm. That was really like, and you see how we've been so ingrained to think that any boundary setting is mean.
Absolutely. And I think also too, as Black women, that is really ingrained, right? That you have to give it, like, literally throw every ounce of energy you have to everybody but yourself.
Yes.
So I think that's also why that has been so normalized for us. And that's something that we've had to actively work against in terms of, like, setting boundaries and, like, deciding to choose ourselves. Because I think so many times people expect us to be the pillars and the foundations of whether it's, like, an organization or family or literally so many things, which is just so not feasible. And I think, you know, contributes to the strong Black woman trope and all that other stuff. So I think working against that is hard because you're working against, like, a societal norm.
You are working against a societal norm.
But you have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. And I agree, like, our past discussions and discourse of setting boundaries is not rooted in this idea that, like, we want to be evil and mean, but everyone is not deserving of every single ounce of you. And when you do that, you give away so much of yourself. You need to hold space for yourself.
Yes.
You need to hold space for yourself.
Yes. It's all going to crash and burn if you haven't taken care of yourself at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
How are you upholding other people if you haven't upheld yourself? When you're on an airplane and they do the emergency demo, you do not put everyone else's air mask on before your own. You will die. Put your mask on so you could help people if you choose to.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it is. And I think like for a long time, like how did we think that that behavior was mean? That's literal just like survival.
It is survival.
And I think the media though, or like movies have portrayed cutthroat behavior as survival, when in reality, that's not true, but like boundary setting is survival.
It absolutely is.
Like, I don't think we're going to be the people, you know, screwing up people's presentations so we get the top spot. And then they portray that as like cutthroat, ruthless. You need that energy to survive in capitalism. Like, that's not the goal here. But the goal is like, you better prepare your own presentation before you try to help somebody else on theirs, like that.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And I also think that that's also rooted in a kind of love for yourself, right? I think when you love yourself and when you're aware of what you deserve, then you hold space for yourself.
Yes, because you deserve that space.
And you block out that time for yourself, right? And you're going to say, yeah, I'm still going to go out into this world and I'm still going to be kind. I'm still going to do all these things, but I'm going to make sure I'm good. I'm going to make sure I'm happy, right?
Yeah.
And that's not a selfish thing.
No,
it's not just a selfish thing.
It's helping that relationship, cultivating a relationship with that self. Mm-hmm. It's not being selfish. Like, we're the only people, like you, when you look at yourself, me, myself, and I, like, that's all you got.
Yeah.
And the other relationships in your life, like, they're not in your brain when you go to sleep at night. Like, you're there with yourself. And that's the most important relationship to cultivate.
Absolutely.
So definitely we've learned time and time again, I think this year and just throughout college, like we have to hold space for ourselves because we deserve it.
Yeah, I love that. We deserve it.
We deserve it.
Everyone deserves it. Like you listening, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve to be happy and whatever that looks like for you in whatever way that means to prioritize yourself. And to really think inward about who it is that you want to be, what it is you want to do with your life, and then how do you get there? Mm-hmm. How do you get there in a way that feels so wholesome, feels so full, right? Feels unaffected by everyone else's expectations of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to determine how you get there.
Wow. I think that also like that topic's a great transition to maybe like what we're thinking of for post-grad.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that like your post-grad decision, and I know there's privilege in this, but like at the end of the day, no matter your position, I truly hope and pray that you can make a decision for where you want to be for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know there's so many responsibilities and stuff for people after post-grad, but if it applies to you, if you are able to even incorporate some aspects of like your passion into whatever you end up doing post-grad, even if it may not be your primary, you know, money-making job, hopefully you can find time for yourself to hold space for you and do those passions and hobbies that really bring you joy. But you really cannot think about like what other people want for you. And even when people want good for you, that can still be a limitation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I talk about this a lot with my friend Chandani, but like we both feel sometimes like we talk about like family expectations, and it's like those are people who love you so deeply and want you to do so much that almost that wanting you to do so much can be a limitation to you because you feel pressure to do so much and live up to those big expectations. But I think when thinking of like post-grad, I've been telling people when they ask what I'm doing, I'm going to grieve.
Yeah.
I'm going to rest and I'm going to grieve. And the look on people's face when I say that is so like, oh, I'm sorry I even asked. Like, of course you should. And it's like, you don't have to feel crazy about it, but I just have to let you know that, like, you know, I'm not going to try to rush my process and dust myself off to race into what? To race into the corporate world.
And then feel crazy while you're there because you have not given yourself the time.
And feel utterly awful. That's
right.
And it's also, if I don't take the space for myself now, when will I?
Right.
If I start some job now and then 3 months down the line, I have a mental breakdown, are they going to be that forgiving? I mean, it happened over a year ago. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't deal with that right now.
Yeah. But it's powerful. I think it's powerful. And I think part of the reason why people are shocked is, again, because I think it's not they rare. That. And also too, I think we are not taught to prioritize ourselves, right? In the capitalist society, it's always about work. It's always about what's next, about what you're doing. It's not about leisure. And this, I mean, grieving is not leisure.
Yeah.
At all.
It's work.
It's so much work in a different capacity. Absolutely.
But it's work that needs, like, you need to dedicate time to it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to fully do that if I wasn't resting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I am so proud of you for making that decision for yourself. And I think, as you said, right, like, holding space for yourself is going to look like a lot of different things based on what you can do, right? So it might be like taking full time off, right? Mm-hmm. Or even if you do have to, in some capacity, like, support yourself or have a job, right? Like, how are you going to choose to still try to show up for yourself? Right. Yeah. Or maybe that's choosing a job where, like, you have more time.
Yeah.
Right. To still hold space for yourself and show up for yourself. So, like you said, I think there's so many ways in which you can, like, navigate that and try to do that for yourself. I know for myself, I'm going to be moving to a whole new city, DC, and going to be entering the corporate world, which I think will be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm overall, I think, really excited to just be in a new space.
Yeah.
And kind of have, like, a realignment in that way.
Yeah.
You know, I love DC as a city. If you're one of my good friends, you know, I, like, rave about DC and, like, really want to go to college there. So I think just being surrounded in a new community and a new environment, I think it's just going to do a lot. And I think it's going to answer a lot of my lingering questions about what it is that I truly want to do, who it is that I truly want to be. I don't know. I get a certain feeling when I'm in DC that I think is really, really special. And I've been there for a lot of really pivotal turning points in my life. Like, whether it was, like, the program I did in high school that completely shifted, like, honestly, the trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
That
was so cool. Like, the universe moved when you got that. Like, it shifted when you got that. Oh.
So I think being able to be back there for a prolonged period of time and to really be able to reflect and sit with myself and these, like, larger questions, I think, is something that I'm really, really looking forward to. And honestly, I don't have close friends that are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I know to some people that might seem really scary, but that's, like,
it's kind of freeing.
It's freeing and it's liberating in the sense that I'm like, I get to really be by myself. I get to, like, all these questions that we're saying of, like, you have to reflect, you have to be comfortable in the quiet, like, I think it really goes so far in terms of understanding who you are as a person. And I think that's always, like, a constant question and something that you're always going to constantly be working towards. But I think that period, I'm hoping, will really, like, speed that process so much, or just, like, contribute to, like, all the growth that I've already done, because I feel like Brown has grown me in so many ways.
We've seen exponential growth.
Yeah, exponential. And I hope that, like, literally scale just keeps shooting and moving. But yeah, I think it's very liberating to almost, like, throw myself into something completely new and different and be like, can I take this? Like, can I handle this? Like, I don't know, there's been other moments in my life recently where you're kind of like just thrown into something and you have to see if you can
adapt
and rise to the occasion. And you know, this is less high stakes than some other, you know, situations in which you might have to do that, but nonetheless, I think it'll be really cool.
I think it's going to be so amazing for you to be there and, you know, be at your job. And like, I'm just so excited to see you there in DC. And I also just want you to know, like, there's no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's only you.
Yeah.
There's no pressure. Like, not that I think you're going to hate it, but it's also one of the things, if you did hate it, you were allowed to hate it.
Absolutely.
And that would still be a part of growth, and that would still be an accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think this whole episode is just talking about how we reframe accomplishments and reframe our expectations for ourselves. And like, we just give ourselves space to try.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Like, yeah. And I think, I always think of like an actual experiment. When you do a scientific experiment, you have a hypothesis, but you're not hoping the hypothesis is one way or the other. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You just want to test and see if it was correct. And whatever the results are great results. The only bad scenario would be getting no results if it was null and void.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we do in life is an experiment, and we just should be looking for results. There's no good, there's no bad, there's no positive, there's no negative. It is what it is.
I love that. I love that. And I think that goes back to everything we said before, right? That all these experiences, right? And all like the trials and tribulations, like they aren't an inherently bad thing. Yes, they were difficult to go through. Yes, like they were just a lot, but there can be some good pulled from them, right? And they really have pushed us in the direction that we're supposed to be in. And I think that's so important. And that's exactly what you're saying now, right? Like, it's all a test, right? We're all kind of taking this leap of faith, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No matter how much you have like a traditional post-grad plan or not, like to some degree, you're taking a leap of faith, right?
You are.
And testing that hypothesis.
We're testing the hypothesis. And that's all there is to it. And we have a whole lifetime to keep doing experiments. The only thing you could do wrong is not doing an experiment.
Saying something.
Staying comfortable.
You got to push yourself into that discomfort. I really think it's in those spaces where you grow so much.
Yeah.
And especially when you push yourself in that discomfort, and that's grounded in you choosing yourself and you doing what you know is best for your heart. That's where you grow.
That's really where you grow.
That's where the difference is made. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I really hope that, you know, people don't squander their reflective time, because we're all going to have that time, I think, post-grad, where it's going to hit. And I'm sure it's going to keep hitting us as we graduate and keep going. Yeah. And I think also for my sake, I'm going to re-listen to our episode with Annie.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
that was our last episode. Everyone, go check it out.
Because she dropped some gems
about post-grad life.
Post-grad life and the emotions you feel, the freedom you feel, yet the loneliness, yet the this, yet the that. Like, oh my goodness. And I think that in those tough moments, you have to realize that some of this is going to be unavoidable pain,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean it's for nothing.
Right.
It's always going to be for something.
It's always going to be for something. And you just have to trust and believe that.
I think also, I said this the other day, but like, sometimes you have to make your own reason. Like, especially when you go through a loss and stuff, there's no handbook, rulebook, explanation. Just this happened because this. You got to make your own reason. And sometimes you have, it feels like it's senseless, you have to use that pain and channel it into something so that it wasn't for nothing.
Right.
And that's hard work, but it's necessary for like your survival.
Absolutely. And to push you forward.
Yeah. Because you can let pain cripple you, or you can let it propel you.
I'm just so excited. I know this is a little like aside, but I'm just so excited for the trajectory of Bria's life. Like,
oh my God.
I know that got so deep, but like, I don't know. We obviously talk so much about like ultimate goals and plans, and like, if y'all only knew what I think is coming. Like, I'm just so excited for you. And I just think it's such a beautiful thing that you, despite everything, right, are just still putting so much time towards the things that you love and you want to do. And I think you're not, like, I know it's so, so hard, but you're navigating everything just so beautifully and with so much grace. And it's so inspirational.
Wow.
Thank like just for... genuinely be so, so, so happy for yourself. And I just hope everyone listening is proud of Bria too.
Oh my God. I had no idea like where you were going. Like, I had no idea what your aside was going to be. That was so sweet.
Of course. Of
wow.
Course.
No, that really means a lot to me. It's hard. But it's like, I don't know what the alternative is. Mm-hmm. You either get through it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a place where I want to get through it.
Yeah.
I don't see another option for me. So, mm-hmm. Wow. I don't know. When people say that, like, I'm handling it well, it's really like a big, like, I don't know, compliment. Like, I think that it's hard sometimes to see yourself. And I think sometimes internally, I just feel like I'm breaking down. And I do have my moments where I allow myself to break down, but I don't know, to see that other people see that I'm trying to find purpose in it.
Absolutely.
And make it meaningful, like really, 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 really means a lot to me. So thank you.
Of course, of course. So grateful for you.
And I'm so grateful for you.
Hmm. Well, I think that this was just a great welcome back, a great welcome back, a great time for us to kind of dive into some of the questions and thoughts that have just been at the forefront of our minds. I'm really hoping that this episode touches somebody who's listening, and I really hope that you resonate with a lot of what we've said and really take it to heart, right? About choosing yourself, rethinking expectations.
Yeah.
And just thinking about like how you're navigating like the next chapter of your life, whether that's like the next semester at college or like just life after college, life after a major transition or a job or whatever it may be. I just really hope that you all decide to choose yourself every single day.
Please do. Please, please, please. I mean, and also I think like a last point, choosing yourself looks different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your situation and what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever your situation is, try to find like the percentage at which you can choose yourself and how much you can give to yourself.
Absolutely.
Some people, it might be closer to 100. Some people might be closer to 10%, but that 10%, take it.
And it's still progressing you forward. And
it is.
It
is. So whatever you can, seize it. And also, if no one told you today, we love you. And you're doing great.
You're doing amazing. And you should be so proud of yourself.
Please.
All the affirmations. All the affirmations. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We have some really, really exciting episodes planned for this season. So get ready. Get ready. Because we have some amazing things coming. And again, thank you all so much for supporting and listening. We love you all.
We love you. Bye. See you next time.